This episode is brought to you by the Black Farmers Hub and by Peanut and Zell's Grocery Stores. Both serve as a platform for Black farmers and beverage makers. Inspired by their family legacies with the mission to provide a platform for Black and Brown farmers, support their work by visiting thesweeterjuice.com as they consistently advocate for food sovereignty and assist with alleviating food apartheid. The Black Farmers Hub and Peanut and Zell's Grocery Stores. It is us. Welcome to the Unknown Preacher LA. I'm your host, the Unknown Preacher, aka LA, aka Lonzo. In other words, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. We're back with another episode, ready to connect to our listeners. I hope everyone is doing well. What a beautiful day it is. So the Lord, glorified to the glorifying the Lord, and we are all ready to live in our purpose. And today I'm excited to introduce one of my new co-hosts. I was going to make her a permanent co-host, but she got all divified on me, y'all. Started talking about, I want my own microphone. And I'm like, of course, we got you. And she's like, no, you don't understand. A mic that only I can spit on, no one else. So we're going to let the swelling go down before we put her on full time, y'all. But for now, beautiful people, help me as I welcome to our team, Jackie. What's up, Jackie? What you know, no good?
Hey, how you doing? My introduction isn't as yours. I'm just a nobody until I build that up as of right now. But you're the DMC. What did you say? The DMC to my run or something again beforehand?
Yeah, I said I need you to be the DMC to my run.
Oh, you know, I knew it was something corny. I couldn't remember which way it was.
Corny? Sorry. Well, the Venus to my Serena. What'd you
okay.
say?
Okay.
Is that better?
No, I said thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
It is a pleasure. You sure?
It. We gonna see after this run. My agent will call your agent.
All right, we'll see what's going on. So I just wanted to, before we get our wonderful guest on, we're going to talk a little. Someone sent me a link to a video about CC Winans, and the video host said that she was basically being called out because she talked about only doing songs that glorify God, and they called her out because Whitney Houston fans believe she was criticizing Whitney, and they called it hypocrisy. Now, CC said that Whitney wanted her to sing on, I don't know if you remember, I'm Every Woman. She wanted her to sing on there with her, but because the lyrics contained the phrase or the words, I think it was something like, I can cast a spell on you.
That, yeah, I actually looked up the lyrics because it's an older song, but I mean, I'm definitely familiar with it, but as far as the lyrics, I had to look it up to see, and it definitely says that in there. So I can definitely see how that can, there's only a certain way that can be taken, especially when you're trying to, you know, walk the path of the Lord, you know?
Yeah, that's what I totally get it. But she did sing on Count On Me. After that, she mentioned that Whitney came back with her and said, how about partnering with me on Count On Me? And so do you think that this criticism is deserving and I have my own opinion, of course, but I just wanted to give you the floor.
Well, I feel like Whitney Houston is what we have now is Beyonce. So anything you say that's not shining, you know, spotlight in memory of Whitney Houston and all the work she has done, you're definitely going to get the Whitney Houston hive. So of course it's going to open up the doors for people to say things, even if they're not in the Christianity world, you know, or if they listen to, you know, BB or CC Winans. It's just the fact they have their ears alert to, wait, somebody said something about Whitney. So I do understand why it's happening, but I mean, it's just the person, the dynamic of the person and the footprint that she left for the reason why it's to the quantity that it is, as many people are saying things about it. But I have my views on it as well. I looked up the lyrics to You Can Count on Me. And yeah. I mean, Whitney Houston's songs, I mean, thing in it that was secular, but it is secular music still, you know?
So I hear you.
Still mixing it.
I hear you on that. So I'll say this, I am a huge CC Winans fan, no doubt about that. So on a personal level, I'll admit that I'm biased, but on a spiritual level, I think I can be objective. I watched her sermon and her focus was really on the songs and actions, not Whitney Houston. She was just telling a story, and I think we can critique the actions of our brothers and sisters who we love without condemning them. And I don't know. I just think we could be connected to people who aren't what they say equally yoked, or who don't walk with the Lord. Not saying Whitney was one of those people, but we should be influential to them and not the other way around. And I think that's what it boils down to. And I may even throw that out to our guests. But anything else you want to add? Huh?
I feel different. It's like it's the gateway. You already opened Pandora's box with it. I mean, I understand the lyrics to You Can Count on Me has nothing to do with anything, with casting a spell, but nothing in it is uplifting the word or God or anything. You know, they're going to have people that are in the religious realm that are going to be, you know, maybe listen to the song, but then that opens up the door for people to say, oh, this is a very good song to play during graduations or at church whenever we welcome the little kids up and stuff. And it's like, is it what category is it in? It's not, remember, like the Bible said, and like she was talking about in the sermon about being hot or cold or lukewarm. That's lukewarm. So it's like, you can still be her friend. Nobody's taking that away from her. She can be somebody that, you know, she's not judging her. She's not trying to condemn her, you know, and give her ultimatum to be on this side. But when you start meshing, especially your professional life, now you're out there exposed to a different group of people. And then you try to come back. It's like you're going to be up for judging, you know, and it leaves a lot of questions.
So in your opinion, she should not have even done Count on Me. That's what I think I'm hearing.
No, I mean, even as great a song as it is, no, I don't think she should have been on that either. Because if you're standing on the fact that I'm, you know, I can't be hot, you have to be hot or cold, then there are no, that's a standard. It shouldn't be, you know, like certain things that you take with it, like, oh, well, this word was taken out of it. Because what in the lyrics of that song is glorifying God? As soon as she, you know, she looked at the negativity and I'm an every woman. Well, what was the positive side of, you know, the glorifying God in either one of those songs?
I hear what you're saying, but I guess I'll push back a little and say she's not contradicting the word either. So
yeah,
she may not be necessarily glorifying the Lord in that song, but she didn't say or do anything that contradicts the word. And I think that in life, like, we can have a conversation about a TV show or a song about it, and it's not always going to be biblical, spiritual, religious. And I don't think that takes away. But I mean, if you want to get biblical, I'll just say 1 Corinthians 8:13. and you know, what Paul was saying, therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat. Least my.
That's not fair. I didn't know I was supposed to come with scriptures. Next time, I'm gonna be ready on you now.
So you come back with me with some scriptures next time. But go ahead.
I'm gonna cut you off.
No, you're good. But I maybe we'll go to another story later. But I want to go into our guests unless you want to say something else about this, or we can move on for now.
No, I mean, I don't want to do the same thing that everybody else is doing and, you know, having an opinion either way that's going to come off as us judging. It's just, you know, if I was in her shoes, if somebody was to ask me the suggestions, like, you know, I probably wouldn't have mentioned that, just because it's definitely going to open you up to a large group of people that are going to see things a certain way. So other than that, I mean, I still love, you know, her albums that she's done with her brother. And, you know, I do love Whitney Houston as well. Yeah. But I don't want to be one to cause judgment or anything, or even make a statement that leads up to that, because it's not a good position to sit in ever.
No, I hear you. And I'll just say this. I really appreciate your feedback, your input on this. And I'm extremely grateful for you. Grateful for the guests. Grateful for a lot of things. So many people are really feeling what we're doing. And I just want to say that this is truly a team effort. When I talked about on the very first episode, Quentin and Brianna, my favorite married couple behind the scenes doing so much, and now you're coming on here. It's just a great feeling. And when we started The Unknown Preacher, I wanted a show where God's children can have real conversations, discuss all topics, and have a platform to reimagine how we deliver the word. So again, thank you. And today, my guest, whoa, what a story. What a story. Please welcome to The Unknown Preacher LA, evangelist and author of Purpose in the Womb, Helena Robbins. Helena Robbins, how are you?
I am well, thank you. I am well, thank you. Thank both of you.
Well, we're just honored to have you on. And this is how God works. A couple of weeks ago, we had Alicia Danielle on, and she told me about you. And I thought, wow, what a story. Your book is definitely inspirational. And like I said, Purpose in the Womb, can you share your story with our audience?
Whew. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you so much. I always say Pastor Bishop Alfonso and to Sister Evangelist Jackie. I am just so honored to be here today. Nothing I do in my life right now I take for granted. I am so humble. Mm-hmm. And I'm so appreciative. So I want to thank you all, The Unknown Preacher and this podcast. Purpose in the Womb. It's so much to this story. If I can just say, it is not just I'm an author, or it's not just a book, but hopefully this will be a life-changing book that would change the people's lives for the rest of their lives. So this book, Purpose in the Womb, my mom died in childbirth with me, actually a day after, was put on bed rest about 2 months prior to having me, and was told not to have any children at the age of 32. So she had already had 7, but I came along, and well, after being born, my father not being able to really take care of me and the 7, so he gave me to someone, a couple at the church, which became my godparents. And they took me, and he said that they could have me. But when I got about 3 years old, he took me back and, you know, promised that I'll be able to come over there every weekend, go to conventions, go, you know, whenever they wanted to get me, they could get me. But when I was in second grade, he remarried. And so life kind of changed for me as a result. I went through just a lot of things because he actually blamed me for my mother's death. On many of occasions, he said it. We would go to the cemetery and he would say, it's your fault, you know. And so as time went on, I just kind of grew up. At the age of 7, I was threatened an ulcer. I used to be so afraid to even go to be up when he came home from work, because I didn't know if he would go off about something. And so he would slap me, and guns were pulled out in my face. Many things had happened, transpire, even in getting whooped. But he always said it was my fault. And so I actually grew up believing that it was my fault. That, and I was like, I wish that, you know, I don't know why I'm even here. Why was I even born? So I began to question myself in life. Like, Lord, why didn't you just take me? Why didn't she just miscarry? As time, you know, went on, at the age of 12, let me go back. So it was things like my stepmother would say, well, you could go to your friend's house. And then she would say, well, I don't know where she went. She just walked off. So those were the times he would just backhand me and slap me into a wall or she would say I could do a lot of stuff, and then she would take that back. And so I was just so afraid and of him. And when I was 12 years old, she said I could go skating, basically. And she didn't know where I was. So the next day, which was a Sunday, I was actually taken in the basement. Like, literally, he asked me, who said you could go? And he said, well, I'm going to teach you a lesson. And so he actually stood me up. He tied my wrist up and he walked me downstairs. I remember thinking that he's going to kill me. And I remember just crying. And he tied me to a pole. And I could not touch the floor without it really hurting my wrist. So for a whole day until my brother came. So many things happened before that even transpired that I've written in the book. But a lot of things had happened. And so I don't know. I'm not sure where else I can go. I kind of talk about my family a little bit. We came from I come from a line of preachers. Both of my brothers are one preacher and one is a bishop, 3 evangelists. So we come from, our mother was a praying mother.
Yeah.
So I know that her prayers were still lingering, I believe, on the earth realm. But after the next day, I went to school that Monday. And long story short, they called me to the office. And when I got there, there were the police that was there. So it kind of goes from there. I didn't have to go back after then.
Gotcha. So let me ask you this. How old were you when he first said it was your fault? Because it sounds like you were fairly young.
I believe that the first time I could remember, I was about 6. Wow. We went to the cemetery as a family. And I remember him putting his index finger in my forehead and bending my head back saying, this is your fault. And one of my sisters grabbing me and embracing me and telling me, no, you know.
Wow. I'm just thinking like how something that, wow, something like those type of words could cut and stay with a child for so long. So
for sure.
I admire and just thank God for your courage. And he pulled a gun. You say he pulled a gun out on you?
Yeah, there were times he would take a gun and say, "I will shoot you right between the eyes." That was one of his things. Yeah. And so even in front of my friends on one occasion that they were over and he came home and they left, but that was one of those times.
Wow.
And, there was a time I really couldn't talk about. Now I would be screaming, crying and saying, "I'll get back to you," you know?
Yeah.
But, my book goes into, talks of my targeting audience is forgiveness. And that is something that I really walk in and that I will preach and teach and talk on for the rest of my life, because I realize if people don't forgive, they move on in one sense, but in so many areas of their lives, they're stuck. They just don't know that they're stuck. And I didn't want to be stuck. And so I prayed about it. And the Lord, he did it for me.
Wow.
Well, I'm thankful that you didn't stay stuck, because that could have continued the cycle, you know, and there's too much of that going on now where people are just hurting each other and just passing it on.
Right. Because a lot of times people, they get hurt by a lot. I've talked to people. I'll be 60 this year. Lord help. But I talk to people in their 40s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and even 70s that have gone through so many things in their past, especially from childhood. And they have not been able, they're going, they're living, they're existing, but they're not really living in their full potential, because there's that little grit, you know, if this hadn't have happened or that hadn't have happened, and you have to let it go. And so my book not only talk about forgiving, but it talk about the power of prayer. And yeah. I stayed in that, the posture of prayer, being, yeah. You know, constantly in prayer. And it didn't happen overnight. I was in a lot of prayer lines. I went to a lot of retreats. Mm-hmm. I went to a lot of encounters, and, you know, I had people praying for me, but it was too, when I really gave God a complete yes in my own life, I started things started shedding and pulling off of me. And I really started walking in my healing of being healed by things, some of the trauma experiences that I've experienced, even up into my father have just transitioned just a year ago.
Yeah.
But before then, that year before, how I was able to, I had never really laid on my father and hugged him and embraced him. But that year, I was able to go and to fly back home and to meet my family there and to sing and pray and to lay hands on him and speak into his life. And also a lot of times, I told you earlier that when I was speaking, I was waiting all my life for him to say, "I'm sorry." A lot of times we're waiting for people to say, "I'm sorry." And sometimes people even, they transition before that happens. Yeah. And I waited. And when I turned 50, I remember he said, "If I done something." So what do you do when somebody says, you know, that they have traumatized you and you've been through so many things, and they say, "If I done something." But I remember the Spirit of the Lord speaking to me saying, "This is it." And say yes. And I did. And then later on, just before when he was sick, before he got, when he was going through, before he transitioned. I remember shaving his head one day when I went back home. And I remember telling him, I forgive you for what you've done.
Yeah.
I forgive you and I love you. And I would just remember, and that was pouring, and we have to learn to pour the, that's real agape love. Individual, so
and that takes inner and outer strength to be able to do that for sure.
And I think it absolutely does. And I think Jackie made a good point earlier when she talked about the cycle, and we all know we forgiveness is the right path to go on, but we also do it for ourselves and our own healing. And I know you're a mother. So when you talk about cycles, the point Jackie mentioned, you stopped that cycle, and not only were you in that abusive environment, but also in an abusive relationship too, correct?
Yes. Yes. I got married when I was 16, and I had my son, my first son, when I was 18. So I have two children, and but through going through a lot of things that I went through, because the stepmother had other kids that was more privy than I was in a lot of things, in a lot of areas. So, you know, being told you're nothing, you're never going to be nothing. I internalized all of that, and that grew up with me feeling not really feeling cute. You know, even though now I take a lot of pictures, I love pictures, but often I'll take a picture and it's not because I think I'm cute. It's just that that's just something I like to do. And oftentimes I'm like, that's not cute at all. But that's because of the way I was kind of feeling, and, you know, those feelings of just not feeling worthy, not feeling all of that. So when I got married at 16, I did stay married for 14 years. But I just never thought that I was ever good enough for nobody, you know? And it takes you into your relationships, your friendships. I've even probably messed up some good girlfriendships, because I thought when they got with somebody else that, you know, they had a better friendship than it just messes you up all the way around. But until you find out who you are, and I realized that, you know, I'm somebody in God. I love hard. I'm a giver. I'm a server. I serve people. I love to serve people. My profession is the medical field, because I love serving. And so I always say, can't nobody beat me. And my family will say, can't nobody beat you taking care of somebody. Mm-hmm. And so I'm so grateful for that, because now that has helped me to feel like, you know, I'm somebody, and, you know, and God can use me.
So I guess my question for you is after, you know, the cycle, because it's like until you realize that you're being fueled by your pain and your past, not even intentionally, it's just like there's things that, you know, from the people that you choose to have children with, the friends or the friends that didn't work out. Like, when, at what age did you realize that, you know, you needed to do something different? You got tired of the same results.
If I can be totally transparent, honestly, probably within the last 5 years, maybe the last seven years, I started realizing that I was valued, you know,
wow.
That I matter. And that's, I do have something that I do on Monday nights, and I'm actually God is just bringing this to me right now, is that It's called Monday Matters. And I was just saying you matters because people need to prophesy to the top of their week on a Monday. Mm-hmm. But I really realized that God actually had given that to me is because I matter. And yes, you matter. And, you know, I want to just to tell somebody on today that you matter. I don't care what you've gone through. I don't care who did it to you. I don't care how many times they did it. At the end of the day, when you come to a place in your life and really recognizing who you are in God, because a lot of this, it takes God to do it. I would have never been able to do it on my own.
Wow.
No, I definitely understand that. One saying I heard was the love of your life should be the love of your life. And I really do believe that's really important. And a lot of times people don't realize they feel like their purpose is going to be like blatant and intention, you know, and it's going to be written on the wall. And then when you have all these unfortunate incidents that happen, or, you know, just your whole upbringing, because I, you know, whenever you were saying you didn't take a lot of people, like, I can relate to that. And, you know, I'm very humble with how I am and walk around, but my mom really didn't.
I'm sorry, Miss Jackie, yes. I can hardly hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, that's a lot better.
Okay. There we go. Okay. No, but I was saying, like, I can definitely relate to, like, when you were saying taking pictures. So it's just like, you know, now I do the same thing, but I'm very humble about it. But it's just seeing the beauty in myself that had always been there. But, you know, I had to realize that myself, you know, at that age or being younger, you know, you're supposed to be nurtured so then you can have that, you know, instilled in you. But when you don't have that, it's kind of like, okay, so what now? Because you still got to be able to develop that, you know.
Wow.
And you have to have self-talks.
Yes.
I did a couple workshop on forgiving and being forgiving and, you know, forgiveness. And one of the things I tell people all the time is that you have to do self-talk. It's okay to go to the mirror. This is how God gave it to me. When I go to the mirror and say, listen, and I went many times crying, sometimes screaming, and I'm looking at myself and I'm saying, listen, Helena, you're going to make it. You're going to be okay. And I do a lot of that, and, you know, with the help of the Lord, with the word of God, speaking the word of God over my life. But when I look in the mirror, and I tell people, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
Yeah.
You see you. And you're talking directly to you, talking directly to your inner man. And so I tell people it's okay to talk to yourself, to remind yourself. And if you have to get posties and put them on your bathroom window or your mirror, your door, to remind you that Psalms 139 and 14, that you are fearfully and wonderfully. That scripture brought me through many years. You are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
That's very true. I use Sharpies. I write on my mirror and I change it up, you know, and I've even gotten my daughter into doing it. And sometimes we write on each other's mirrors because, you know, that's where we get ourselves together in the bathroom. So I always put stuff on the mirrors and, you know, I change it up, you know, for whatever it is I'm going through. And, you know, it definitely helps because you're the person, you're supposed to be the number one person in your, you know, in your corner. Yes. You're the person that you've been with the longest, you know, so that person needs to be good to you. And you've got to train yourself to be able to get to that point because you aren't your thoughts. But a lot of times once we hear something, we start, you know, ruminating about it. And then we really start to believe like, well, maybe I am worthless. Maybe I'm, you know, maybe this isn't meant for me, you know, but it definitely takes time for you to be able to nurture that after not having that or being taught how to do it. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, I've been through and you know, through some other relationships. And it seems like every time I would get into a relationship, that thing will come up again. It would surface again. And that's what happens. Things resurface when they're not dealt with. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Sometimes flowers You can't just let the part that's dying just stay on there. You have to purge them. You have to snip them off so that it can continue to grow and blossom. And you have to snip things in your life, you know, that those dead issues. You know, there's one scripture, if I can just read Ephesians 4:31, it says, and this is in my book, it says, get rid of bitterness and rage. Actually, that's not just for somebody else. That was for me too. For me to get rid of bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice, be kind and compassionate, it says, to one another. But I would like to add, be kind and compassionate to self.
Yes.
Yes, for sure.
Forgiving each other, forgiving self, just as Christ has forgiven you. And we definitely have to forgive ourselves.
Wow.
And until you learn to love yourself, you're not going to be able to recognize that true love from other, you know, from other people and everything, because it's not embedded in you first. That's going to be your compass through life for you to be able to understand the self-love, and that needs to be something you tend to all the time. It's not just something you just, you know, okay, it's one and done. It's all the time, because, you know, you're forever evolving as a person.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you for that scripture.
Yes.
Amen on that. Let me ask you this, because, wow, everything you're saying, and I know it's touching the hearts of our listeners, and I'm hearing Jackie too, just saying, speaking a lot of facts.
Yes.
And I'm going to turn it just a little to, I was thinking about something when you mentioned each other, and do you believe we support each other enough as ministers, gospel artists, Christian authors? Do we support each other enough?
Well, you know, not really like we should. Yeah. And let me say, we could do better. Yeah. And we could do better by, the Bible talks about those that are overtaken in the fall, you know, to reconcile, to restore in prayer, you know, because I like to say it like this. You don't know people's backdrop. I mean, I got judged on so many levels. Like I said, I got married young. I mean, I was going with my husband at 13 till I got married at 16. What did I really know? So I made some mistakes, but I was judged by so many people because they didn't know the backdrop of people's lives, of my life. And sometimes people don't know the backdrop of where people have come from. They just see them now in this particular state, but they don't really know what you're dealing with. And so I think that we could do better as people in ministers and pastors and just people in Christendom being more supportive through prayer, and not being so quick to judge if you hear something, you know, just don't be so quick, you know, think about it. Sometimes you have to, you know, find out a little bit more before you go there. But that's why Matthew's, I believe it's in 6 or 7, it talks about judging. Yeah.
Wow, you made me think of another question. So how do we continue this mission, like the mission of the ministry and the next generation? So I've had pastors who have told me that we have to continue the mission, and I agree, but some believe it's up to, and I'm thinking about our young people, and some say, you know, it's up to the young people to conform. And I think about myself, I've been criticized for some of the methods used to bring in young people in the form of like gospel rap, or, you know, what are your thoughts on that? Do we just stay rigid on that, or do we do try to, because I think many young people feel that we are judging.
I think you have to take the self out of it any sincere help is, it has to be a selfless act. Like, it can't be something that's convenient for you. You know, some people, they're uncomfortable with stepping out in a certain place to be able to reach those people. They're wanting them to meet them halfway or to come fully into the church to be able to do it. And that sometimes that's not going to happen. But then how do you reach those ones that don't have the same vernacular you do? You know, it's completely selfless, but not with, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to completely change your character and sit there and be in the clubs at night and everything, but that is, everybody is going to be reached in a way that's going to, you know, they're the ones that's lost. We have to be able to know that and go in there and know we're going to have to sometimes crawl and, you know, dig and crawl spaces and stuff rather than, you know, sit up and be like, oh, well, they're going to come over here and I'm going to be polished and I'm just going to, you know, help them. I'm going to spoon feed them. Even if they don't think it's good for them, I'm doing right. And a lot of people think judgment is subjectivity, and it's not, you know, because they may not feel like they're judging. It's like, well, I'm just trying to tell them I want them to walk the right way. And it's like, but how does that person perceive it? You know, you've got to take yourself out of it to be able to understand why you're not able to reach them.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I've been saying this for a few years, actually, because I said I have two children, two adult children, mm-hmm. and some grandchildren that's coming along. I tell people all the time, we have to pray about everything, right? We have to pray for strategies. I have to pray for strategies on how to finagle. I came up old school. I came up, you know, they was, you know, telling me the polish was wrong. And if you pick up the ball, it's wrong. If you bowling, it's wrong. I came up in that era. But we need strategies from God. So I pray often, Lord, give me a strategy on how to win. I'm meeting all kinds of people now and that don't know what I know. Mm-hmm. And so I can't just give them that of the old. I mean, some of it is
like another language.
It's good. It worked for me. And mm-hmm. I'm not trying to change who God is.
Yes.
That's the thing. Long as you're not taking God out of the equation, long as he is front and center of everything that we do, he may give you another way. And some people may not like your way because some people are still just right there. And that's okay. One thing about the body of Christ, and I just wish that they would do it. I tell my family all the time, being the youngest, I tell them, let's just respect each other's anointing and let's respect each other's place where we are in God. Because God may have said something to me this way. He may have told you to just do it red and white, but he told me to put red and white together because he wants me to make pink.
Yes. You just said a whole lot. That's all I can say.
Yep. And I tell my daughter all the time, the Bible does talk about leaning on your own understanding. Yes. And it's like understanding that you're going off of everything that you're equipped with, not saying that it's not resourceful and it's not useful to somebody else, but that, you know, that person, that next person may not have that. So you being able to tell them that or trying to get them to where you're trying to get them to a better spot is they're leaning on their own understanding and you trying to do it is like, we said, like you said before, but it's like a different language. You've got to pray for discernment,
yes,
and for strategies because, you know, discernment, like you said, they may not be in a place right now where they're going to hear it. And you just need to stay close for whenever they start, you know, God gives you that time. Okay, now here's the strategy, but you definitely need to pray. That's the number one resource that I stay equipped with.
I have an 18-year-old grandson, well, a 15 and 18-year-old. And so I was like, now, Lord, they're not being taken to church like I took my kids to church. Like my kids was to church midweek, Friday night service, the shut-ins. They were there. So I said, Lord, what can I do without sounding like I'm a nana that's just, you know, nagging? And so not on do it often. And I know the Lord gave this to me because I couldn't have came up with it on my own. Every now and then I might send them a scripture because they know a little bit. And I'll say, what does this mean to you? And then they'll text me back. And it's just a little communication, nothing big, you know. But that was good for me, you know, and them.
Mm-hmm. Wow. We're getting close to the closing point, but I just want to give both of y'all, if you have some last words before we wrap things up. This has been a very impactful conversation, so I thank you for it. Any final thoughts, Evangelist Robbins?
Well, first, I thank you so much again for having me. But my final thoughts are, if you have not forgiven someone, please, that is just so important. Please, if they are still around, it's okay to step up and be the bigger person to say, listen, you know, I forgive you for doing it, for whatever you've done. And just to remember that power of prayer, you know, keep praying, even if it's not working right now, because there is a timing to God. Keep praying, keep trusting God, and love yourself.
Amen. Thank you so much. Well, yes. Were you going to say something, Jack?
Well, I was going to ask her, where can you find your book? I looked it up to be able to see if I could see like a synopsis of it. And I saw it's on Amazon, but is there any way
tangible? It is on Amazon. And you may have to put in Helena Robbins.
Okay.
On Amazon, Purpose in the Womb. And you also can inbox me. I am on Facebook, Helena Robbins. You can inbox me. I do have some in stock myself. You can email me at silentprayersh@gmail.com. That is silentprayers, PRAYSH@gmail.com.
Thank you so much.
I'm definitely going to send you an email as soon as we wrap up, because I want to read that book, because you know
it's so much more in there.
Yes.
Because I talk about a formula to prayer. There is a formula to prayer to help us to get through the madness.
Yes. And scriptures that on forgiveness in there. So man, it's powerful. It's impactful. We thank you so much, and we give a mega thanks to you, and I give all honor to God for your strength and resilience. And so thank you so much, Evangelist Robbins, author
Robbins,
Purpose in the Womb. And I purchased my copy through Amazon. It is a great read, so thank you again. So that's our show for this week. Again, I want to thank Evangelist Helena Robbins and my co-host Jackie for having my back. We will see you next week and do our part to make the world a better place. Jackie, thank you for again having my back, speaking facts, and you still owe me for that mic I had to purchase that just
soon,
had.
Soon as this turn gold, then I'll pay you for it.
But I do. I really do appreciate you. It's good to have different perspectives. So.
Amen.
You know, I'm right most of the time, but it's good to have different perspectives.
Amen. Pastor Alfonso, if I could just also say this,
yes,
is that you also can find me on Facebook every Monday at 9 EST time with Monday Matters. And I am on, and I'm hitting some of these areas and many other areas on Monday. It's called Monday Matters.
That is great. Say that again for us.
It is on Monday Matters. I am on Mondays at 9 EST time. You can find me there. It is called Monday Matters on Facebook Live.
Amen. Okay. Amen. Thank you so much. We really appreciate that. So if you have a prayer request, I have prayer warriors ready, willing, and able to pray for you. Also, if you have questions, need advice, or just want to comment on the show, email us at theunknownpreacherla@gmail.com. That's theunknownpreacherla@gmail.com. And remember, if you want to make a difference, you absolutely have to do something different. God bless you.
God bless.
It's the unknown preacher. It's the unknown.